All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. This is our 23rd episode. I'm your host, Mike Sklens. Tonight, or on this podcast, I am joined by Stan Ferguson and Carl Castaneda.
Hey guys.
Hello.
This week's episode is all about marketing. This is our Game Marketing 101 episode. We're going to talk about a couple of things. First, we're going to cover the state of video game marketing in general. Then we're going to speak specifically on the topic of Nintendo's marketing. Following that, we're going to discuss how Nintendo can market Wii into a hit. And then finally, we will have an interview with Ken Shan, who is a brand consultant for Acclaim. So just going to jump right in. Our first segment is the state of marketing in video games in general. Our first topic in there is press releases and print ads. Are they really worth it?
Yeah, in my opinion, print ads and press releases have always kind of been wasted because I know I don't read press releases, and I post them. And as far as print ads, I usually just flip through them. I don't usually look at them.
Press releases are good for announcements. You know, otherwise, that's how we get our info. The idea is, do you interpret the press releases as most sites do, or do you just lay it out there for everyone to see like we do? Either way, they do provide some information.
I've always thought that the best way was just to post them outright. You know, when you go into interpreting them like other sites do, What ends up happening is people don't know if it's your words or the company's words, and it all just gets really jumbled. So,
yeah, my stance is that print ads, I think they're great as long as they're targeted properly. Like, if you're going to put an ad inside EGM, that's absolutely fantastic because you're hitting the market you want to hit. Press releases, I think press releases are fantastic because they're dirt cheap. And if you just look up something on Google News, if you type in something that was in a press release, that press release goes out to everybody. That press release gets covered in national newspapers and national websites that don't typically cover video games. We'll pick up a press release and just post it. And that's just more eyes, you know, seeing your news.
Yeah, easy publicity.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Nintendo's huge on that.
Yeah.
Easy publicity. Nintendo loves doing things like, I remember last year here in Tallahassee, they gave 1,000 doors to Habitat for Humanity for hurricane relief or something to promote Paper Mario, the 1,000-year door. And, you know, that costs them nothing. They have the guy in the Mario suit show up and stand for a picture with Jeb Bush, and then they just put a press release out, and it's cheap.
Yeah, very true. Yep.
All right, our next topic is on the topic of commercials. For commercials, is it best to show actual gameplay footage, or should you be doing something like original content, something like the Xbox 360 jump in ad where there's no, you know, video game stuff. It's all just abstract stuff representing a video game.
Well, you need a good mix. I mean, different ads appeal to different people. Some excellent ads were the Grand Theft Auto ads, which they just added in a song that was part of the soundtrack and then showed some of the coolest bits from the game. That's effective. But at the same time, a little comedy thrown in, you know, different ads that are a little bit more abstract can appeal to different people who, you know, maybe want a little bit more humor or get caught up in the comedy.
I disagree. It's always been my opinion that game footage has always been the best way to go because there's no way to get your product into people's minds better than to just show them the content. I mean, the best two commercials of recent memory for as far as games go for me were as you said, Grand Theft Auto, and another one was Halo 2. Now, keep in mind, I don't care about either of these games. Like, I didn't buy them, I didn't play them, I don't really care. But they were great commercials. Grand Theft Auto showed you everything that was great about GTA, and Halo, it just presents this epic scene with all this great gameplay footage that just looked awesome.
I don't know if you recall the commercials for this game, but I remember seeing them in the movie theater, but Final Fantasy VII had zero in-game footage. It was all pre-rendered, right. And it sold like mad because of those ads. They just hooked everyone in. They were, wow, what great graphics!
Well, I would throw cinematics in there with game footage. I mean, it's not gameplay footage, but it's from the game. It's not original content.
I think it's cheap, especially back in the days of PlayStation when that game looked nowhere near the cinematics. Now, you could make something on the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360 that looked better than Final Fantasy VII's full motion video.
Oh, yeah.
And that's eye candy. That's why I think we've seen less game commercials using pre-rendered footage nowadays.
Yeah, but still people get fooled by them. I remember being in the theater just last year. Or no, maybe it was 2 years ago, they were pimping EverQuest 2 on the 20, and all they were showing was pre-rendered footage, and I remember these two idiots behind us going, man, those are incredible graphics, and I'm just like, dawg, you know.
Suckers.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of your game. If your game is really great, if we're talking like a Grand Theft Auto game or a Halo or, you know, any game that's going to be absolutely fantastic, they're going to show you the game because it looks great. But if we're looking at something that's less appealing to almost anybody, it's going to be more pre-rendered footage to try and, you know, get it into people's minds that this game is really good, even though it might not be in actuality. And as for original content, I'm all for it if you can pull it off right. Like I mentioned before, the jump in ad for the Xbox 360 with all the kids in the water balloon fight, I think that's one of the best commercials for anything ever, because you're watching it and you're like, what's this for? And it makes you really think, and then they hit you with the brand at the end, and it just works.
Right, and it does display in a different way exactly what Xbox Live is all about.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, I guess. I still think that game footage would have worked better. I mean, why not just show footage of people playing on Xbox Live?
Because that looks lame.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a commercial full of 7-year-olds and, like, just screaming at each other, like, oh my god,
that's
you're such a loser,
show.
I'm gonna come over and rape you.
No.
That was terrible.
Yeah, dude, sometimes you don't want to show exactly what things are like. Sometimes you want to display how things feel.
So, basically, you want to lie to people.
It's not a lie.
You want the ideal, you want the essence of the product, not the actual product itself.
Right. When you play on Xbox Live, you feel like you're in this particular situation. But if you show what you're actually doing, it's silly. So you want to capture how it feels to be playing Xbox Live rather than what it looks like.
I suppose.
I think looking at a screen of the Xbox's dashboard and like, oh look, you're checking my game.
That's the way to go. But I mean, footage of people playing Xbox Live.
Yeah, but then it's just, you know, what's it like when you see a sitcom where two people are playing video games?
Yeah, because they're never really playing video games.
Like, it's just two guys holding controllers. I don't know, if you've ever seen Entourage, I know always strikes me because there's a scene where they're playing Halo and they're actually playing Halo. And even though, you know, you can tell they're actually playing Halo and it doesn't look fake, it still looks kind of boring because you're just looking at guys manipulating a controller.
It just always looks like they're just randomly fumbling around with buttons in the analog stick and like just shaking it back and forth.
Yeah, no one presses that many buttons in a video game. That's definitely true. It's a much more calculating experience than sitcoms would let you believe. Our next topic for general game marketing is viral marketing, and I think we're talking about things like alternate reality games like I Love Bees for Halo 2 and things like the fake message board accounts where someone will go on to a message board and pretend to, like, you know, be a normal person for a couple like weeks, maybe a couple of months even, and then all of a sudden they'll slowly start working in marketing lingo into their posts talking about how great Game X is or everyone should check out Game X. So the community believes that they're a real person, but in actuality, they're a tool.
They are a tool.
Literally.
Basically, you know, you gotta go there and just be like, yes, I'm a completely non-biased person. By the way, buy Tiger 2007 because it's a great game, and I am in no way saying that under my own paycheck.
We see, it's not even that. It's more subtle. It's just like, eventually, like, that guy will start posting. That guy will be the guy who makes all the threads about Tiger 2007 and about how, you know, oh, look how great the game face feature is, or look how accurate the physics are in Tiger 07, and that'll be subtle like that, and you'll think, oh yeah, this guy's just presenting information. He's not pushing it. He's just presenting it, and wow, Tiger 2007 does look really cool.
Well, it's funny, because really a lot of this is based on the success of GTA 3 and the like. GTA 3 had virtually no advertising. It just came straight out of the blue. But what really did it very well was it had excellent word of mouth. I mean, it was huge as far as word of mouth. And what they're doing is they realize the best advertising you have in the gaming industry is word of mouth, so why not create your own? And it could work beautifully, or it could really hurt you if you get found out.
A lot of GTA's publicity isn't so much created by them as it is created by people like Jack Thompson.
Yeah, but I think I don't think that really started against GTA 3 until GTA 3 became huge.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But once they realized the power of Scandal, they definitely took hold of it.
Oh yeah.
I agree.
Look what it's done for Bully. And Bully's just a little T-rated, bloodless game.
Yeah, and it's huge. Jack Thompson's filing suits against it.
He might be.
It's pretty huge. I saw today that apparently you can have same-sex characters dating in it. I cannot wait to see the publicity bomb that explodes from that.
Yeah, you can make your character gay.
Hilarity. And then there's companies who aren't necessarily, you know, lying to customers, but they're using really dirty marketing. Like, there was that thing that with EA that just came out about how they're using in-game marketing basically they're using spyware to find out what you like or what you basically what you visit online, and then putting up banner ads on like billboards.
Like in Ghost Recon, a billboard in the game, like a billboard in the game world, will not be for a fake product now.
Based on what products you like.
Yep.
That is bloody brilliant in my opinion.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it? It depends on how it hampers your system's performance and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Right. It could be something that could eat bandwidth, but if done fairly inconspicuously, it really shouldn't affect you much at all.
You know, in all honesty, it shouldn't even need to eat bandwidth if it just checks your browser's history or something.
Yeah. It logs your IP, checks your history real quickly, and
Apple does the exact same thing with iTunes. They have this feature called the Mini Store, where if you're listening to song X, it'll recommend song Y automatically.
Yeah, and it's wrong every time with me. It's so funny.
Well, it's like
I turned it off just because
it's like the classic TiVo situation where it'll recommend shows for you that are just ridiculous.
I love my TiVo. I told my TiVo that I liked Monk. I gave Monk a thumbs up, and then a day later, this is when I just got my TiVo, so the only show it knew that I liked was Monk. A day later, the TiVo suggestions, there was like 30 different crime shows in there. Because, you know, pretty much any hour of the day you can find Law & Order, and TiVo found Law & Order like every hour of the day and recorded all of them. So, right now we're going to take our first fake commercial break, and we'll be back in a couple moments.
Hello, radio fans. This is Evan Birchfield here, and I'm joined with Sweet Pete the Pirate.
Yarr!
And we're here to announce the winners of the Naruto contest.
This first entrant be using the hip and the hop, and frankly, it disgusts me.
Well, you're generally disgusting, so that's okay. Fortunately, no one cares what you think, so enjoy your first winner.
Whatever the hell his name is.
Actually, his name is Matt. And he's coming to us with a rap that he has written. He's part of the rap group called Dedicated Servers. So here it is.
Radio Free Nintendo, but don't pretend, Joe, that you don't already know, cause I know you do. Baby Blue is the best place ever for Nintendo news, which may include, but not limited to, the Wii, the DS, and GameCube. Come for the jokes and you stay for the game reviews, to name a few, like Naruto, Clash of the Ninja 2, Evan and Carl, they got me glued, it's RFN, I thought you knew, but you do.
That's not a song, this is a song. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage.
Anyways, congratulations, Matt. You've won yourself awesome Naruto stuff and a place in Radio Free Nintendo history. Now, back to the show.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
All right, welcome back from our fake commercial break. Our next topic is the state of Nintendo's marketing. First, we're going to talk a little about the DS's marketing. There's been a couple of Touch Generation ads out recently. I've seen three of them, one for Brain Age, one for Nintendogs, and one for Animal Crossing. And the Animal Crossing one is very, very female-centered with a pink DS and all sorts of get-to-know-your-animal-friends things. And I don't remember the Nintendogs one, and the Brain Age one has a man about 30 or 40 sitting outside a dressing room while his wife tries on clothes, and the commercial offers that you could do something with all your free time like this, such as training your brain on your Nintendo DS.
What I think is odd is that while we're seeing Nintendo pushing a lot of these older games, and Mario Kart especially, which has been out for, what, like a year now, and now I'm seeing commercials more often now than I did when it was released, but then they're not really pushing newer games.
I think this holiday especially, this holiday is not the brightest for the DS. I think Nintendo has definitely given it a backseat to make sure Wii gets the most attention.
Yeah. Plus, it's kind of funny that you did mention that most of the Wii commercials that played throughout the year were more for the Touch Generation style games. They really held on to their ideal of focusing towards a new and expanded market rather than catering directly to the gamer who they can reach pretty easily through the internet.
Well, I think maybe that's what they've realized, and they are still reaching the gamer through the internet. There's plenty of marketing for every other Nintendo game on the internet, but as far as television, we're definitely seeing a shift towards this blue ocean that Nintendo has been talking about, where they're trying to target people who have not played games ever or have played games in the past but went away because maybe they got too complicated or they just felt they outgrew it.
I don't know. Have you guys seen any commercials yet for Clubhouse games?
No.
I have not seen any at all. Which kind of goes back to what I'm saying, because, you know, it's a brand new game. Just came out, what, like last week? And nothing so far.
I think specifically with these ads, a lot of times with video game ads, we see ads leading up to the release of a game. But with these Touch Generation games, you definitely don't want to run an ad until the product's already out in the market. Because right. You want that to be like, these people who the game is being targeted to are not on the bleeding edge of technology. They're not going to, realize that if they see a commercial that a game is coming out, even if it says coming such and such a date, they don't want that. They want to see a commercial and go to the store and buy it.
Right, make it an impulse buy.
Mm-hmm.
And impulse buyers are not, gamers aren't generally impulse buyers. We look forward to things.
Yeah, well, it's such a large investment.
I've impulse purchased before.
Oh, we have, but we usually know when things are coming out as well.
Well, the good thing about being a Nintendo gamer is that sometimes you have these long periods where you don't have to worry about, how am I going to buy all these games?
I think that's a very, very bad thing to say. I mean, that's just a large insult that says Nintendo games don't come out often enough.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that Nintendo games don't come out often enough. I think that, for the most part, Nintendo puts out more games than they need to. But games on Nintendo system specifically. But that's a whole other issue.
That's something that we didn't see until maybe a little while into the life of the GameCube. And the same thing with the N64 that happened, where the third-party support drops out because there's not enough money, and then Nintendo can't support the system on its own.
Well, I'd say the same thing is going on with the DS now. I mean, how many, barring a few different companies, are you really seeing great support from third parties on the DS?
They love it. It's cheap to develop for. I mean,
yeah, I know, but are we getting good games, though, from third parties on the DS?
Good games and games do not even matter. We are getting lots of games from the Nintendo DS.
Well, the thing is, I don't care if we're getting a lot of bad games. That doesn't interest you. I'm talking about good games.
But it should interest you, because the more bad games that are on a system means more games, which means more systems in hands. Look how many bad games are on the PlayStation 2, but it's still the dominant platform.
Yeah, but it's right. The dominant platform because of all the good games.
Yes, but all the good games exist. All the good games exist because people feel that when they buy a system, they want games to be coming out for it, and you know, the system is sustainable because the user base is so large, because in addition to the people who only buy the good games, there are lots of people out there who only buy the bad games. And I'd wager that there's a lot more people who buy Ford Racing or X game licensed on movie than there are people that buy Okami. Well, what do you guys think of some other trends with the Nintendo DS marketing? I know Carl has some issues with the marketing of Wi-Fi connections specifically.
Well, it's just that I don't think it's being pushed to its potential. It's Nintendo's first real foray into online gaming. And I'm not talking about the Saddle of You, but that's old school, but I'm talking about basically modern online gaming. I just think that being their first real trip into it, I think they could be pushing it more than they are.
There's really not a whole lot there to push. I mean, it's pretty much done ad hoc. It's up to the developers to really take advantage of the fact that the internet pretty much exists to use that. And also, the system is just not really powerful enough to really do anything incredible.
Yeah, it's a nice feature, and I like being able to play Mario Kart, and I really like being able to pick up Tetris and just match up with somebody just to play them, because Tetris's matchmaking, I think, is actually incredibly good. It really gets you at someone of the right skill level. But as far as that, it's more of like an extra feature, whereas with something like with Xbox 360, Microsoft's key feature with that system is not the processors, it's the online functionality. That is what you go to Xbox for if you want to play games online, if you want all those great community features. It's very Generation Y, customize it yourself, meet up with all your friends online.
And it's well done, it's well integrated, and it's what Xbox 360 is all about. Yeah. Whereas the DS is more about innovative and new types of styles of gameplay.
What do you guys think went wrong with some Nintendo's marketing, specifically GameCube? I'd like to say
what went right with GameCube. Yeah.
pretty much everything went wrong.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it has to do with the transition of a new head of marketing, and Reggie, took over, and he has this mess to deal with, and he has to sort of dig himself out of it.
You know, all respect to Reggie, and but I don't think anyone could dig themselves out of the hole that GameCube found itself in.
He's lucky that video games work on a 5-year cycle, and every 5 years you get to press the reset button.
Absolutely. Yep. So, yeah, I have a lot of faith that he'll be able to do a better job with Wii, but as far as GameCube went, I mean, let's see, clean is better than dirty. Why don't we tackle that one first?
I mean, that's all you need to say, is that was basically the worst ad for any video game ever.
Ever.
Probably.
Yeah, which is really sad because that came pretty much on the heels of one of the best Nintendo ads, which was the Super Smash Brothers ad.
Yeah, that game was definitely definitely working in that series of character suit ads, and that Smash Brothers ad was brilliant, and I remember a Mario Kart ad that was similarly very good, and you know, it seemed like nothing could go wrong with those really completely ridiculous character suits while, but then clean is better than dirty.
Nothing really sheds that kiddie image faster than saying, hey guys, come on, let's all be clean, let's not be dirty.
Let's be clean with a guy in a Mickey Mouse style Mario suit.
Yeah, with a water jetpack.
That basically put the nail in the final nail in the coffin for that marketing campaign.
And then there's the thing that I've been talking about with you, Mike, where you don't think that where you think a major problem with Nintendo's marketing is that they haven't stuck with a slogan.
Yeah, they're not cohesive at all. They're not building any brand loyalty. They're not building any brand awareness. If every year they completely wipe what they were doing and then reset it. I remember Microsoft for a good 2 years with the Xbox was running with the Power of X campaign, and you know, 2 years is good, but I'd like to see further. I think they're gonna stay for at least 2-3 years with this new jump in campaign that they're doing. Nintendo, not good at that. The last thing we had was Who Are You, and barely ran any ads for it. I don't think they used that Who song at all.
At all. What a perfect
Which was ridiculous, because that song is perfect for that campaign. Yeah. They had that one good commercial with all the kids running through the streets in Japan. And after that, it just sort of like tacked on to the end of every commercial, but they didn't tie in any cohesiveness. I mean, that's what Microsoft does too. You know, they show the game and then at the end it says Xbox 360, jump in. But it just seems a little more cohesive with the Xbox effort is that it's tied across everything. It's not showing up spotty here and there. I don't think Nintendo has any sort of cohesive ad campaign running with the DS right now. They have Touch Generations, and that's very good because all those commercials end with the same sort of style with a picture of the DS and a couple of logos for like five or six different games on the bottom of the screen, but they've focused on one specific game in the ad. But they don't really have anything running like that right now except for that specific, very small market of Touch Generations. And who knows how long it'll last.
I really wish they would actually bring back, Now You're Playing with Power.
See, that lasted a long time, and then Play It Loud must have lasted, like, forever with the Super Nintendo, but they don't do that anymore. I don't know, like, it seems to me that that is the way to go, is you want a cohesive campaign that is going to persistently stick in the consumer's mind and constantly remind them in the back of the head that you need to play it loud with Nintendo.
Well, getting back to Microsoft for a second, one of the things that I always liked about them was even when they changed slogans, it was all tied around a central theme. Like, you know, one of the other ones was it's good to play together, and then they got Jump In. It's all tied to their online community.
Yeah, once they started with Xbox Live, they started with it's good to play together, and then they've moved on to Jump In, and they keep it focused. Like, Xbox is about playing games online with your friends.
Right.
So I think Nintendo could definitely use that. I don't know, maybe playing different, something weird like that.
I remember at E3 one year, they sort of tried to make Nintendo like the cool thing with they were running this ad inside their booth of a bunch of people just talking about video games, and it ended with I play Nintendo. And that was, like, the greatest thing I ever saw. Like, I was thinking, oh, this should be the campaign, because everyone plays Nintendo. Like, when you really think about it, everyone has played Nintendo. And if you can spark that in the back of your mind that, yeah, I used to play Nintendo, I should play Nintendo again. You know, that campaign was great, and it was one reel at E3 that never went anywhere. And I thought it was probably one of their best ad slogans that they never used ever.
Yeah, they don't have much in the way of slogans or anything like that. I mean, no. What is it for Wii? Is it just the logo?
It's nothing yet, and actually, we are going to talk about that after this short, fake commercial break.
Hello again, radio fans. This is Evan Birchfield. I'm joined again by podcast idiot Sweet Pete the Pirate, who is really, frankly, starting to smell.
Arr, watch your mouth, ye scurvy dog, before I make ye walk the plank.
I suggest you heed your own advice. You could use a good dip. Our next entry is rather fast-talking, too, so I suggest all the old-timers in the room, listen up, all right?
Yer, I hate you.
I once bought the Naruto fighting game from Japan, and it was okay, but I couldn't read it because it was entirely in Spanish or something, so I threw at my cat Snowflakes, and I ran out the door into the street, and I followed him, thinking that it might get attacked and run over by Domakun or something, so I ran after it, and I fell down the stairs, spilling ice cream onto my shoes, so I had to go get new shoes, and on the way to the store, my mom was driving, and she hit a deer. The cops came over, and the officer asked if he could keep the deer, and it's pretty weird, lol. But I started talking to him about Naruto, and he asked what my favorite food was, and I said spaghetti, and he just looked at me and spit to my face and walked away.
Ahoy, this be Sweet Pete, the pirate of the jungle. Evan is no longer with us. Truly a tragic accident. He tripped over the crow's nest and is now resting in Davy Jones' locker. And congratulations to Forum Goer, News Nothing, for winning this last one.
All right, welcome back from our second commercial break. Our third segment here is going to be about how can Nintendo market the Wii into a hit. And I know Stan thinks they're doing a pretty good job already, but Carl's not so convinced.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're missing a pretty big opportunity here because Sony has done, you know, not so much lately. I mean, if you guys know the PS3 commercial where the kid's out on the rooftop with the huge backpack waiting.
I don't know how he's going to, I don't even know how he's going to afford the PlayStation 3. He must be mowing lawns like nonstop.
Dude, you know that that backpack is filled completely with cash. That's what they don't show you.
Full of black tar heroin. That's where he's making his money.
I just don't understand why being on a rooftop is making it easier to wait. If anything, you want to be
down
the street.
They're not waiting.
It's right there. It's right
it's
above
coming
them.
From heaven.
It's
yeah,
raining
but you
want to
be on
PS3.
The street so that you can run to the store faster than everyone else. Every other jackass who's up waiting on the roof, you're going to have a head start.
No, if it's the middle of the night before the launch day, if you're on your roof, you're screwed because that line at Best Buy is going to be around the corner.
Yeah,
and they're only going to have like four systems, so...
Maybe those kids know something we don't know.
Yeah. Maybe somebody's going to drop them from the sky from bombers. That
like manna
flying,
from heaven.
That they're flying with the six-axis controller.
Here's something that I'm curious about. Do you think the kid in that commercial is going to get a free PS3?
No. No, definitely not.
Well, he certainly made enough money off of doing that commercial for a... new PS3.
So now Stan, or sorry, Carl, yeah. What do you think's wrong with Nintendo? I mean, Sony only has this one ad out. They're just now starting to build buzz, and I haven't even seen it on television yet. So what's Nintendo doing wrong?
Well, I think that what they're doing wrong is they're not capitalizing on that. It's the perfect opportunity to strike Sony where it hurts, you know? Now is the time when they should be putting stuff on TV and everywhere while Sony's still fumbling trying to get shit together.
But Sony already has something on TV. They're not. They've got their stuff together.
Yeah, they've got this crap of this kid on the rooftop. That's crap.
Well, you know that's just one commercial in a series.
Yeah, it's a serialized commercial where you start seeing it now, and it builds and builds and builds and it comes down like a tidal wave. And Nintendo just hasn't started that yet. I think they're looking for a shorter lead time due to the fact that they don't want the hype. I don't think they want the hype, but I don't think they want it to crash too early. I think they're going to wait maybe a week or two from now. I think 2 weeks from launch is about the sweet spot where you really want to start advertising and getting people psyched up. I think if you start now, you're really making them wait too long.
Especially since it's completely unnecessary. I mean, for one thing, Nintendo's target market at launch is the people who already know it's coming out. And they're going to go out there and they're going to buy it and Nintendo's going to sell through.
They're gonna
rely a lot on us to spread the word, and then the major marketing will come out to keep these Wiis pushed out the door.
And that's a major problem. That's a major problem.
That's brilliant marketing.
They shouldn't on us. They shouldn't be depending on us to get the word out. They should be out there getting it out themselves.
Why?
It's on two of the top hottest toy lists. That's marketing. Whether you think it is or not, it's. That is the marketing that Nintendo is using. That is Nintendo's tired and true strategy of get it out there through the news.
Yes, it's brilliant, it's cheap, and you don't have to spend a whole lot of money doing advertisements that aren't really going to do much anyway because we're going to buy the system anyway.
You don't have to do a lot of ad buying on television. It's just, you know, put it out there, make sure it gets on the top of that list, and that list is going to get covered by every news outlet in America on every morning show on television.
Oh, yeah.
I think you guys are giving Nintendo credit for something that happened to them. They didn't orchestrate this.
No, they did. You have no idea if you don't think they orchestrated this.
This is something that is...
It's their MO. It's Nintendo's MO.
They've done this since the days of the original Nintendo, dude.
Okay, fine, whatever. I don't believe that at all.
You'll see a lot more television advertising. Nintendo has announced that in Europe they'll be launching their largest television ad campaign ever, something like 11 or 13 million pounds in spending on the television advertising in Europe.
And how much you want to bet it's going to be crappy commercials, because Nintendo of Europe is even more incompetent than... Well, I don't want to say...
Really, I prefer European and Canadian commercials to our crappy American Nintendo commercials. They got some crazy-ass commercials up there in Europe.
Well, just think about how bad it's going to be for Nintendo of Australia.
It's always bad for Nintendo of Australia.
And I think it's funny that Nintendo's using a lot of marketing push in Europe, because the PlayStation 3 is not even a competitor over there. It's being delayed until who knows when.
Well, they're mostly competing against the Xbox there.
Yeah.
Because the Xbox is very popular up in Europe.
I think the preemptive strike in Europe is a great idea, because if you look at it, it worked out really great for the DS, where the PSP did not get into the European market for a while. And yeah. By the time it did, DS had pretty much already taken over.
Yeah, Nintendo's definitely counting on that. But
yeah.
I think this holiday season is all about people buying something because they can't get a PlayStation 3. I think Microsoft is going to make an absolute ton of money in console sales this year.
Oh, God, yes. And this will be great for Gears of War as well.
For all those people looking for a PlayStation 3 who want those, you know, sick graphics and, you know, all that experience that comes with it, if they can't find one, and they won't be able to find one, they will happily go to the 95% as good competitor in Microsoft in the Xbox 360.
I'd say it's more than 95%. In fact, I'd favor the Xbox 360 over a PS3.
Well, the sheer power of what the PS3 can produce, you know, in the future, not right now.
What is this can produce, and I haven't seen it yet.
Well, of course you're not going to see it yet. It's potential.
Have you seen Square's video of Final Fantasy 13? Like, they ran at their E3 press conference that was running on hardware and looked completely ridiculous.
Okay, Mike, one thing you're forgetting here is, A, it's Square.
Okay, they're very good. They know how to tap the power of a system, but Sony.
No. They know how to make you think that they know how to tap the power of the system.
Dude, anyway. They know how to tap the power. And you saw Final Fantasy X's graphics when it came out, and it was like one of the most incredibly graphic-intensive games.
It was twice as good-looking as any other PlayStation 2 game.
And do you remember that target render that they had of Final Fantasy VIII? It's like, okay, this is what we can do on... Yeah, this is what we can do on PS2. Look at this pre-rendered Final Fantasy VIII footage. This is some great stuff that we can pull off here. And then let's see, what did Final Fantasy X look like compared to that? Not so good.
Yeah, well, Square does do target renders, definitely, but they are definitely one of the graphical powerhouse developers.
Absolutely.
Out there. They will push it.
But my point here is that I don't think that the PS3 offers anything that the Xbox 360 necessarily couldn't do. I think that what the cell offers you is a lot of great multitasking, but as far as real-world gaming application, I don't think it comes in ahead.
I think in a couple of years, PlayStation 3 games... I think the second or third generation of PS3 games is going to look far better than the second or third generation of PS3 games.
But think of the physics engines you could create for that thing.
We're not just talking about polygons. I mean, that thing, the PlayStation 3 is a beast, and there is no way to deny it. That's why it costs $600.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to hold back the PlayStation 3 is the fact that, it's got like a 512 megabyte video RAM.
Does it? I didn't know that. Sorry.
I don't know. I'm imagining that's the only thing that's going to limit it, because, you know, the 8-core cell processor. I mean,
processor. It's got so much cache for all those 8 processors that it shouldn't be a problem if it has a little less RAM, if all that stuff is sitting in the processors and not in the RAM.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, it's going to be incredible what they can produce 3-4 years from now. And if they really expect that machine to last 10 years.
That's what they said with the PlayStation 2, so...
Yeah, but it's viable, at least, on this one.
Why?
You know, assuming that, you know, and it will happen, but assuming when the developers really tap into the power of the cell processors and are able to actually utilize it, then...
Well, you know, we're talking about that 10-year life cycle, and Sony says the PlayStation 2 is designed for a 10-year life cycle. You know, just because the PlayStation 3 comes out doesn't mean that life cycle is dead. The PlayStation 3 came out in 2000, it's already 2006, and it's still the dominant platform. They're already halfway through. It's got at least, I'd say, 2-3 years left in its complete product life cycle.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the PlayStation 2 outsells the 360 this year.
It might, it might.
I doubt it, but okay.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised.
What big holiday
pushes
have? I mean, what big holiday push besides?
The holiday push that it has is it. You can't get a PlayStation 3, but it still has the PlayStation brand name on it.
Yeah, yep. Anybody who's out there for a PlayStation 3 right now does not want a PS2. End of story.
Well, Saddam Hussein was trying to buy all those PS2s at launch, and when he couldn't get them, he settled for PlayStation 1s.
Well, that's Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, and he has, like, you know, a ton of money, but he settled for the PS1.
I'm not even going to touch that.
There will be the PlayStation 2's market, the target market for the PlayStation 2 has completely shifted into, think of it like the Game Boy Advance now, where it is basically for kids, and it will be for kids by the end of next year.
And the same thing happened with the PlayStation 1 as well. I remember some neighbors of mine in an apartment that I lived in, as soon as the PlayStation 2 came out, and they came with that tiny PS1 that was pretty cheap, they went out and bought it because, you know, they didn't have all the money in the world to go and buy the PS2, but they still wanted their kids to play some games.
Yeah, and their kids didn't have games, you know, so well, let's get them something, you know, that they can enjoy.
All I'm saying is those people aren't necessarily out there to buy a PS3 to begin with.
Right, but that's probably the majority market as well.
That's PlayStation 2's market right now is, well, not right now, because there will still be plenty of people buying PS2 games this year, just because they don't want to deal with PlayStation 3.
Right.
But next year, PlayStation 2's market is definitely the lower income, you know, groups
once
out there.
Once God of War 2 comes out, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's the last big hurrah. After that, it's over.
Yeah, and they still got Final Fantasy 12 coming out this year, which is, you know,
comes out in like a week or two.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's going to sell huge. I just don't see why it's a big deal. But whatever, I know I'm going to get castrated for that.
All right, well, let's move on now. Okay. What would you guys like to see Nintendo advertise? How would you like them to see advertising the Wii? I've already talked about how I think they need a cohesive voice. I think some sort of slogan or campaign style that would tie everything together. They definitely need to show people playing the system.
I like what they have on their website right now. Have you gone to the Wii site where they actually show real people playing the games? And granted, these are good-looking people, but they're actually playing the games, and often for the first time, and they're just recording them. And I think those are brilliant.
I think it would make a good ad if you spiced it up a little with a nice narrator, like, this person is experiencing, you know, this for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
You know, like those old Folgers Crystals commercial.
Yes, exactly. Spice it up a little, make it real, make it, you know, people who are, you know, people trust other people. If you advertise something with fancy words and graphics, you know, that looks nice and it sticks in the consumer's head, but if you can get an actual person on there with a testimonial that looks convincing, like, you know, oh wow, this thing is lots of fun, I'm playing tennis, and, you know, if, you know, like, I know I saw the one video on the website where the girl swings the racket and it makes the ball swing, and she hears, like, the tennis ball sound come out of the racket or something, and she giggles, like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Yeah, she goes, oh my god.
That's the ad you want on television.
That's brilliant. I just get little montage clips of those things and show it up there, and just...
Not even montage. I say launch, like Apple has, like, when they launched the Get a Mac campaign, they ran 7 ads on television at the same time with John Hodgman and Justin Long, and I think Nintendo needs something like that, where it's simple and effective, and you get down there and you put out, you launch a blitz of like 8 different Wii Experience commercials where people are, you know, different types of people, a family, an old couple, some kids, a lot with young adults.
Well, that Apple route certainly worked for me. I mean, now I have a MacBook, so I guess that's how it goes. And I don't know, Stan, did it work for you?
No, that's not why I got a Mac. I'd been considering it for several years since I really, you know, considered that I liked editing, and that's why I bought it, because it's always been better at editing than the PC.
Right.
But this is a little aside, but since we're talking about Apple, I thought we should mention that the day we're recording this podcast is iPod's 5th birthday.
I still don't really use mine, but whatever.
Wait till you get to college.
Maybe. But as far as what Nintendo's got out now, they've got some stuff out in Shijinko train station. Our Japanese correspondent, Josh Dougherty, sent us an email of this picture. It basically was very simple, very direct. It was a hand holding a Wiimote that says, new remote control scheme coming December 2nd, which is, of course, the Japanese launch date.
And they're running similar ads on television where the remote sort of appears, you know, on the screen and the hand appears on it, and it's like, oh, this is what this is, you know.
Right.
It's a very good early starter campaign for Japan, and they're obviously starting very early in Japan, but Japan's, you know, the way you market to Japan is completely different than the way you market to America.
Right.
So.
It's funny, though, that commercial really has a lot in common with the PS3 American commercial. It doesn't tell you a lot. It just shows you something. and then it's over.
It plants the seed.
Exactly. Right.
That's the idea of that ad. Now, what do you guys think of Nintendo's current marketing? Carl, uh-huh. Carl wanted to say something about Toys R Us specifically.
Yeah, there was this print ad that came out a little while ago that was basically pimping the Wii as one of the big toys of this Christmas season.
You're talking about is actually an ad that's not out yet, but should be out in this Sunday's paper when the Toys R Us Big Book launches. And if you've ever been a kid in America, you know the Toys R Us Big Book is... Well, you wouldn't know this as a kid, but when you look at it now, it's pretty much one of the best marketing ploys ever, because if you go through it, everything is meticulously organized and separated into little sections like action figures, Nerf guns, video games, and all the items have little check boxes next to them, so you can check them off and give the whole book to your parents.
Yep. I just have to say this before we go through, and it's off to completely off topic, but I have to say it anyway. You guys know that there's a Nerf sniper now? I just have to say that's completely freaking awesome.
This thing will shoot a Nerf dart 35 feet, and I have told my girlfriend that she needs to keep me from buying it because it's $30, and I really, really want it.
Wow, only 30 bucks?
Getting back to the main topic, but I just had to say that that's completely freaking awesome.
That's probably better than our fake commercials in terms of selling stuff right there. Good job,
yes. Yes. And they're also doing these Wii Party things now.
Right. I don't get it, though.
Very underground, like Nintendo buys some tiny little space in a populated area and invites people in to play, and that's where they shoot those videos to put on the website. It's very, very underground.
That's very nice viral advertising. And you're hooking some people up with a good time, you know, creating a party, getting that seed planted in people's heads there.
And they're doing it. They're doing the same thing on a larger scale with the Nintendo Fusion Tour. They have the Wii. This is the first time on the Fusion Tour that they've actually been smart enough to put the product that's not out yet on the tour with the concert.
Yeah.
I know for the past 2 years, like they didn't have the DS the year the DS was launching. They had like a video running DS videos or something, and it was completely the stupidest idea ever. They should just have the systems out there for people to play, and they're doing that with Wii this year. They've got it. It's on the Fusion Tour along with a whole bunch of mediocre emo bands, but the kids are there. You know, and kids, Generation Y, I've talked about this before, but Generation Y is completely centered around word of mouth, and they will spread it like the plague.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I suppose.
Well, with the Wii parties, it seems to me like it's sort of similar to the Cube Clubs, except on a smaller scale.
I don't know, I'm just bitter about the Wii party, because I wasn't invited to the Miami Wii party.
Well, you know, it wasn't exactly what we were expecting. It wasn't a press event. It was just a
I don't care, people man. Event. All right, look. It was advertised all the best gamers in the area. To not be recognized as one of the premier gamers of Miami is just it makes me really
sad. You suck. That's
you know what I'm really surprised is I work at a university, and on our school's paper, there was an ad for the Techno Overload Tour coming soon. And this is a tour that goes around every year to college campuses where it's sort of like a whole bunch of companies buy on to this large truck and they truck it around all these universities displaying the latest and greatest in consumer electronics. And Sony's on it this year, but Nintendo's not. And I think I've definitely seen Nintendo, maybe it wasn't on that tour, but I've seen Nintendo on those tours before promoting things like GameCube, and I think it's murder for them not to be at these university events.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're not really on the ball with that.
Mm. Well, I'm sure they will be eventually with
maybe those, they don't want it to be, you know, seen as a techno marvel, but as something that's very accessible to the general
audience. Well, it's
supposed
to be advertising, like, the coolest gear, you know, for your dorm room. Like, what are you going to have fun with? You know, there's lots of, like, you know, televisions and stereos, and Sony's on it this year, so I'm sure there'll be a PlayStation 3 kiosk, but it seems that Nintendo ought to be down there, especially since Sony's going
to
be.
It seems that, but if it's just extra money to spend on something, on an audience that they've generally got a hold on anyway.
I think they have a hold on like a very specific audience of college kids, but there's the college kids all over are nuts for nostalgia right now, and if Nintendo's out there promoting virtual console, it's going to sell.
Yeah, but what I figure is what Nintendo's going to hope for, and probably will work, is Nintendo will sell it out to the college kid who is the Nintendo fan and knows that it's coming out, will buy a Wii, and he'll probably buy another controller or two.
And he'll put it in his dorm room.
Yeah, you know, he'll put it in his dorm room. He'll invite some friends over, and they'll be like, wow, this is actually fun.
You know, people will be walking down the hall, you know, oh, that kid has the Wii, and it's really fun. Let's go play some tennis with him.
Yeah, and then eventually they'll get their own. And it does that word-of-mouth campaign, but it helps because it's a totally different way of playing. And they really don't need to spend that extra money to be put on these different lists. They just need certain ones. And that Toys R Us hottest toys, that kind of stuff really works for them.
Yeah, all right. I think we're gonna wrap things up here and move into, after this final commercial break, we'll move into our fourth segment, which is an interview with Ken Shan, who is a brand consultant for, I believe it was Acclaim. I always get them backwards. Acclaim. I should stress that a little of the information in this interview is slightly out of date, as it was recorded a couple weeks ago. So if you hear anything that seems like an inaccuracy, please don't send us a long email berating us, because it's actually a couple weeks old.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
It's me, Evan. I'm sneaking back on board to announce our final winner. This one is rather crazy. As soon as Sweet Pete hears it, his head may explode.
Who goes there?
If we're lucky.
What?
This one was submitted by Jesse.
Back to the sea with ya!
I'm here with a good friend of mine, and we're discussing Naruto's localization.
Naruto sounds ghastly in English.
Oh, I think Naruto sounds just fine.
Well, you wouldn't say that. Just listen.
Even if we can't agree on that, I think we can agree on one thing for certain.
That's right.
Radio Free Nintendo kicks ass!
Radio Free Nintendo, brought to you by Planet GameCube. We're not going to call it Planet Wii, so stop asking.
Planet GameCube is my friend.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
Piss off.
Pete, that last one touched my heart. I think we should make up and be friends. I brought man cakes.
Yar, man cakes for dinner. What could be better?
Well, how about Super Paper Mario?
Yar!
Woot!
We love man cakes, man cakes, man cakes. We love man cakes.
Hey there, Radio Free Nintendo listeners. I am both happy and saddened at the return of this commercial break, because we have gained a new member, Ken Shan, who is the brand consultant for Acclaim. He's our first industry guest on Radio Free Nintendo.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
But unfortunately, both of our co-hosts were eaten by sharks.
Yeah, it was not pretty. I saw it on the way in, and it's just not nice.
Whatever, that's past is past. So let's just get on with the show. Now, Ken, if you could just quickly tell the listeners what you do for a living.
So I am a brand consultant for Acclaim. Basically, that means that I'm helping out with all the marketing, making sure that the games are getting out there and the word about the games are getting out there. So we just finished working on the launch of Bots, and we've got a couple other games in the pipeline that I'm going to help out with.
Yeah, there was one that was particularly interesting. Doesn't it have Dave Perry in there?
Yes, that's Two Moons. It's two, the number two, and Moons.
Uh-huh.
This is a follow-up to our naming convention of nine dragons. Nine, the number nine, and then dragons. So, you know, I figure that we've got about eight other games left, because we've got we're running out of digits, I think.
But then you're going to be getting into 89 million cocoons.
Right, exactly. No, Two Moons is pretty cool. Yeah, it's got Dave Perry, you know, Earthworm Jim. Extraordinaire.
Formerly of Shiny, I believe.
Yes, formerly of Shiny, the company that he founded. Basically, I mean, it's going to be an exciting game because, you know, he basically went and created this with a Korean game designer. I mean, it's based off of a Korean game, but, you know, he's got his own spin on it that's just going to make it really cool. All
right, awesome. But enough marketing.
Sorry.
Taking over our show there. But let's get to the topic at hand for the night. I'm just going to run through with a few of the things that we talked about tonight and get your professional insight on them.
Wow, okay. All right. I can't guarantee professional, but...
Well, we'll try to keep it as professional as possible.
Sounds good.
All right, first off on the agenda is, how effective do you really think print ads are? I mean, I know I've talked to you about this a few times, and I really don't see them as effective at all, but you disagree.
Well, you know, it's a matter of, you know, looking at your media mix, you know, and media mix being, you know, what channels are you putting your message out on? So you could pick between TV, online, radio, and print. So I think print has its purpose. Mostly it's going to be for awareness purposes. So, you know, you're going to want to hit the hardcore gamer that's flipping through those magazines. Even if you're not, you know, making the sale right there, the fact that your game is in those magazines, you know, kind of puts you in a caliber in their eyes, you know, that if you weren't there, you know, the level of awareness goes down, and you know, potentially you're not talked about.
So essentially, it's really not even there for it's not meant to make a person just run out and buy the game, but really just to increase awareness.
Yeah, I mean, I don't imagine anybody ever going into you know, looking at a magazine ad and saying, you know, dang, those screenshots are so good looking that I'm gonna run out right now and buy it, you know.
Well, I can think of a few people like that, but they're not exactly unbiased.
Right. I mean, no, you're going to have diehard fans that are going to go buy something, you know, just because they see something that, you know, appeals to them, you know. But we're talking about, you know, maybe not that hardcore of a gamer. You know, maybe it's not on a hardcore game magazine. Maybe it's on, you know, a less, maybe it's on Wired, or maybe, you know, it's on a lifestyle magazine, you know.
What do you think about this whole viral / guerrilla marketing phenomenon going on online?
Well, you know, I think it's a matter of trying to break through the noise. You know, I think, you know, you could do the general, you know, marketing push, but you're going to have to compete with everybody else, you know. So absolutely. You've got these, you know, ad agencies, or you've got these marketing teams that sit together and they're trying to figure out the, you know, latest, coolest thing to do, you know? I think the one that I've always been most impressed with is Shadow of the Colossus,
right,
with their alternate reality game. You know, I think that was a really cool way to kind of like, I mean, it didn't even really talk about the game other than those, you know, huge colossi, I guess. But I mean, if your listeners aren't familiar with it, basically they went, created blogs, created web content, created a whole bunch of stuff that was just about finding these giant colossus in the real world now, a real quote unquote world right now. And I think it was really effective in kind of breaking through the buzz or the noise and creating some buzz with gamers, because you know, you kind of get sick and tired sometimes of you know, my trailer's bigger and better and blows up better than your trailer, you know.
And there, of course, was the infamous I Love Bees.
Right.
For Halo 2 that just did wonders for the game.
Right, right. And I think, you know, exactly. It's that kind of stuff that kind of gets everybody talking and buzzing about it. And, you know, in terms of the overall effectiveness, you know, I don't know. You know, I would say that, yes, you get the core audience interested in it. You know, is it going to get sales? You know, maybe not. That's what I kind of think the whole viral guerrilla thing is really about, getting that core audience excited so that they start talking about it, and then it gets on the radar with it.
Then, of course, there are people who kind of start playing with fire and put in these people into message boards who are basically there to pimp the products under the guise of a regular user.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of stuff is just, you know, you do it and you risk being found out, you know. I think consumers now are way too smart to fall for that kind of stuff. Even if you've got somebody who's posted like 20 times, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, you posted 20 times and all of a sudden you sound like the guy on the infomercial, you know. No, I'm not buying it.
I think there was an article on Penny Arcade a while back. They got an email from a guy who was interviewing at one of these ad agencies who employed that kind of tactic. And basically, they were told that they had to establish 50 personalities on 50 different message boards. And basically, first they were supposed to build up, I guess, cred at these different places that, you know, they are a respectable user. So I guess at first they weren't necessarily, you know, all pimp all the time.
Right.
But then, of course, once they develop, you know, a rep at one of these places, then they all of a sudden they are Mr. Ubisoft. Not to say that they use specifically, but just to use them as an example.
Right. No, I mean, I see the reason why somebody would want to do that from a marketing point of view. I mean, because you want to at least break into it and generate some sort of talk, you know. But that's not the approach that you know, that I would take. You know, actually, just to give you an example, and this might be a little bit obscure, but my approach is I actually went out myself and I went to some message boards when we were pimping bots. And you know, I went on to some of the message boards out there, and one particular one that I went to was on RPG.com. And I went there and I just basically said, look, you know, we're a new company and we've got this game and, you know, help me out. You know, let's talk about it, you know. And they loved it. They received it, you know, very positively, you know.
Well, absolutely. I think that, you know, if someone comes to you completely open saying, hey, here's what I'm here about. This is what I want to talk about. Here's what I have to offer. People will respond a lot more positively to something like that than trying to kind of sneak it under their doorstep.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem when you run into this guerrilla stuff is that if you, I mean, I think it's okay to do it. I think you just got to be open and upfront about it, you know? I think if I was to get a team together, you know, if it's something that's, you know, more than I could do myself, or I want to accomplish more than I can do myself, I get a team together and said, hey, look, you guys are representing me now, and go out there, be honest about it, and get some feedback. You know, don't push this thing out there, you know, talk about it, you know, say, hey, do you like it? Do you not like it? You know, all this stuff. And then let's get a dialogue going rather than, you know, just, oh, in your face, oh, I love this game, you guys gotta check it out, click this link, you know, I mean, that stuff is, you know, it's gonna pay off in the short run, you know, maybe, but somebody's gonna find out, and you're just gonna, you know, mess yourself up.
Definitely. We'll go on ahead to the next topic of Nintendo. Now, of course, with this, you're more of an observer like the rest of us than, you know, a practitioner. I don't think you've done any ad stuff with Nintendo, right?
No.
But unfortunately, but how would you, if you had to grade them on their efforts thus far, between, you know, A to F, how would you say they've done so far?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of just marketing and message in general, I think I would give them like an A for sure.
Really?
Yeah. You know, because I think it's, when you think about marketing, a lot of people think about it as just, you know, the TV ads and the radio, you know, and the magazines and all that stuff, right? But it's really kind of establishing your product in the marketplace as well, you know? So I think they've done a fantastic job of figuring out what is it that this marketplace doesn't have, and how are we going to go and put a product out there that's going to fit this niche, you know? So all the buzz that's going around on the Wii right now is based off of this great, you know, this big, great marketing setup that they've done.
But for me, I don't see it as some kind of master plan that's worked out brilliantly. More of it just happens that Nintendo had the right idea and everyone is picking up on it. But I don't think it was something that Nintendo orchestrated.
Well, I mean, it's kind of it's a little bit of the chicken and the egg, right? I mean, I'm sure that they kind of went out on a limb with this and decided, okay, hey, we're not going to, I mean, in terms of, okay, let's take a step back. I think in terms of hardware, the system, you know, I don't think it's a next-gen system, you know? In my mind, mm-hmm. I think this system is a current-gen system that is just putting all the best practices together. You know,
okay.
So it's got the online capabilities, it's got the community capabilities, it's got, you know, I mean, let's not even talk about the controller yet, you know, but it's got, you know, it's got all the, you know, cool games. And, you know, I think that's the approach that they've taken is let's not compete with next gen right now. Let's take the best of this generation and put it all into a tight $250 package. You know,
well, I don't know about tight. I'm pretty sure they had a little more room to adjust the price, but I guess that's another issue altogether.
Right. No, I mean, I just think to kind of answer your initial question, I mean, I think they kind of put this out there knowing that, you know, it's a risk, but I think it paid off because I think they're definitely getting people's attention. You know, I mean, everybody that I've talked to has, you know, decided pretty much, yeah, I'm gonna get one, you know, And that's right. That's huge. I mean, if you think about it, that's really huge because there's no mass marketing that has gone on yet. And yet everybody I've talked to that has been a gamer has said, I'm going to get one. And
but they're a gamer.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I'm talking to a gamer, right? But, you know, if you can sell the gamers at this point, I don't think it's that much of a job to sell the mass market.
So you see the hardcore gamer as a bigger hurdle than the mass market?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, in terms of well, yes and no. So I'm going to backpedal a little bit. I think okay. The hardcore gamer is a tougher market when there's less information out there. So because I think they are the ones that are more skeptical. They are the ones that are throwing rumors left and right. And, you know, I think they are going to be they're going to reserve their opinion. They're going to be more protective of their pocketbooks until they kind of filter out all this stuff. And I think at this point with the Wii, with all the things going on with the PS3 and, you know, the hardware problems with that, I think what you find is that everybody is at least in agreement from what they've heard, rumors or not, that the Wii is a decent buy.
Well, to speak about Sony for just 1 minute, I have to put this in there, but I think Sony has a great marketing branch. But there is no way they can do as much damage control as they need to at this point.
Well, okay, so that actually brings me to my second thing, is that the hardcore gamer is the person that really goes and filters in all this information. And at the end of the day, if you can get them to say, yes, I'll buy it even before it's out, you've done your job. But also, it's a totally different game when you get into the mass consumer, right? Because when the PlayStation 3 comes out, the mass consumer is not going to know about any of this stuff if they've cleaned up their act by that time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of a different type of situation, because with the mass consumer, they're not hunting for information quite as much as your game consumer, right? So the harder sell with them is kind of the value. You know, what? Why should I buy this? You know, what is this about? What games am I going to get out of this? Rather than with the hardcore gamer, in that they're looking for all the details and all the... I mean, I don't think a core consumer has even thought about, like, pixel numbers, you know?
For that part, does the average consumer even know what a pixel is?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I think it's a different sell. I mean, your question about, you know, about 2 minutes ago before I rambled on about who's the harder sell. I mean, I think the hardcore gamer is the harder sell because the mass consumer is going to have stuff filtered already. It's going to be filtered through, you know, reviewers. It's going to be filtered through people like you. And, you know, they're going to get a message that is a little watered down, you know?
Okay, well, since you've given Nintendo an A, I have to ask you about two things that I consider huge missteps in their whole marketing strategy. First off is this rumor that's going around, and I'm saying this is, if it's true, what do you think of this, that GameStops will be the exclusive kiosk holder for the Wii launch.
I heard about that. I think it's interesting. I think... I think it's a mistake.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. How can you give Nintendo an A when they're making a mistake like that?
Well, it's actually, I don't know too much information about it. I mean, from what I can tell, nobody knows exactly how long that exclusivity is gonna go for.
Right.
So, I mean,
I assume it's a launch window kind of thing, meaning up until March.
Well, I mean, that would, if that is true, that would definitely be a huge mistake. Just because that game, that system is so dependent on the controller being the talking point, that, you know, if you don't have it, it's too high concept for, you know, your average 8-9-year-old to figure out. You know,
absolutely. And let us pray that it is not true, because that would just be awful.
Yeah, I mean...
There was even that stuff about, you know, you have to leave your credit card at the clerk if you want to use it. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, I think they do make really long chains. I've seen it at the bank.
I don't know. We'll see how that works. I mean, if anything, you could always put a cord over at the clerk's desk or the clerk's counter or whatever, and then have that tethered to the Wii.
Right.
Because, after all, I believe for the motion sensors to register correctly, you have to be about 6 feet or more behind the sensor. So you need to really have space. It can't be like an Xbox or a PS2 or PS3 for that matter. Kiosk where you can be right up there against the screen.
Well, I mean, I think with the stores that I've been to recently, I don't see how they could have all that space given all the used games that you would have to jump on top of to get that space.
Yeah, maybe GameStop is the only retailer that can even do that. That has that amount of space that they can put something like that together, and that Walmart and Target, etc., just weren't interested. And then they're just spinning it like, oh, yeah, we're giving GameStop this great exclusivity contract for the first launch window. But it's just that everybody else is like, nah, screw yourself.
Right. No, I mean, the way to solve that is to, I think, maybe take an entire aisle out of Walmart and maybe have...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll love to do that. They'll just be super down for that.
Right. You know, because Walmart doesn't care about shelf space or anything like that.
Of course not. That's of course why you can find UMDs everywhere in Walmart now.
Oh.
little pot shot there at the PSP. Oh. The fanboys are coming, Okay. All right, anyway. But I believe that takes us to the end of our podcast. So I'll ask you for your final word on Nintendo and marketing in general. Go for it. Sum up your entire opinion and your entire career in marketing in three words.
Wow, you're really what? Putting me on the spot. three words and my entire. How about okay? This is gonna be cheap, because it's more syllables than that. But how about we not PS3?
Ah. Uh oh. Well, I'm sure our audience is gonna love you. I can hear the talkback form goons already.
Oh boy, you know, I've already put myself out there, being a marketing guy for a gaming company to be pot shot at. So
it's okay. Well, I'm sure that Sony's gonna love it, and I'm sure you're gonna be getting many ad contracts with them soon.
Well, it's funny because the ad agency that I used to work for actually did the PlayStation account. So
really, do you mind if I ask you how it was working with them?
You know, I didn't actually get to work with them a lot, and even if I did, I don't think I could actually say.
the NDAs.
The whole NDA of NDAs.
What's his name? Phil Harrison will come to your house and just beat you up.
Oh yeah, the secrecy thing is huge. I mean, I've never been naked so many times walking into a meeting just to be searched. And no, I'm just kidding.
All right, well, before we end up getting labeled as explicit on iTunes, we better end this podcast.
Right. Sorry. Well, it was good talking to you.
All right, so let's just say goodbye there to all of our radio fans, because yeah, that is going to be on the air.
Oh boy, thanks. Thanks for listening, right, guys.
If you want to check out more of Ken's daily thoughts, like just like the one he was talking to us about now, you can find him at Branded Noob. That's BrandedNewb.com.
Thanks for the plug.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I had to give you a little shout out for coming on for the show. You know, that's what we do to all of our industry guests. Wink, wink, wink. Nintendo. Hey, come on the show. All right. So. See you guys next time for some more Radio Free Nintendo.
All right, welcome back from our wonderful interview with Ken Chan. I hope you enjoyed it. This is going to wrap up this week's episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I've been your host, Mike Sklens. My co-hosts this week are Stan Ferguson and Carl Castaneda. As always, if you have any questions or comments, listener mail, please send all those such things to our email address, podcast@planetgamecube.com. And we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you again next week.
Later, guys.
Good night.
Get bent is not a technical term.